Do achy, stiff joints slow you down? Would you like to put some of the cushion back in your joints and cartilage? Would you like to clinically reduce everyday joint aches and pains? Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and if you answered yes, then good news. Our friends at Purity Products want to send you a bottle of their legendary Ultimate HA joint formula for just $9. Ultimate HA features the joint-boosting benefits of hyaluronic acid. HA works like a shock absorber, helping you to cushion and soothe your joints. Plus, this HA also hydrates your skin, and people say they look better too. Just a few capsules a day, and you deliver powerful support for your joints, cartilage, skin, and connective tissue. So call 1-800-983-1154 and get a full-size bottle of HA7 for only $9, and you also get free shipping. Call now to claim your $9 trial bottle of HA7 with free shipping, 1-800-983-1154. These move fast, so call now, 1-800-983-1154. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're doing a deep dive on the subject of xylitol. Nate is the founder and CEO of Clear, X-L-E-A-R, Inc. They also make their dental products go by a different moniker. It's the Spry Dental Defense System, Spry. And you'll find the gums, the pastiches, the mouth moisturizers, the mouthwashes. Am I missing anything? That's pretty much it.
Chewing gum, mints, candy.
Yeah, and also like kids' formulas too, because kids really shouldn't probably be chewing gum below a certain age. So you just give them
people,
drops.
People always say that, but I started my kids chewing xylitol. I mean, obviously xylitol gum, I mean, because, you know. I started my kids at about 2 years old.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So they're capable. You can watch them.
I mean, I think my kids are geniuses, but okay. I'm sure every parent, I
realize. They're so precocious because they're able to chew gum at two,
My parent, my kids aren't any smarter than anybody else's kids, but they, they sit there and they chew it and.
I didn't start till freshman year in college, actually. No, I'm kidding. The way though to give it to a kid, let's focus on that for a minute. You want to prevent a kid from getting cavities. Now, really, you don't wait till their permanent teeth come in. Really, you want to undertake prevention almost from the time of birth, right?
No, from about a year before they're born.
Prenatal prevention. Okay, how does that work?
They've actually done studies. Yeah. And you can go look up these studies, but just if you Google Yuki Nakai or Eva Soderling, Eva Soderling's in Finland, Yuki Nakai's in Japan, and I'm trying to remember the name of the one, there was another one done in Brazil, where they've actually done studies where if parents use xylitol products, their kids don't get cavities.
And what's the principle behind that? Is colonizing with good bacteria or something?
No, that's exactly it. Okay. I mean, when I first tell this to even dentists and hygienists, they look at me like, what is this, voodoo witch magic? Yeah. And it's not. If we get rid of the cariogenic bacteria out of our mouth, we don't have it to give to our kids because the bacteria that are going to colonize in our children is the bacteria that we have in our mouth.
Right.
The bacteria that cause cavities, they know, and they've shown this over and over.
It's orally transmitted because there's a lot.
It's vertically transmitted.
Generationally.
Yes.
That's called vertical transmission from like parents
to kids,
children
to
grandkids. But oral transmission, there's a lot of kissy poo and there's a lot of oral contact.
Hey, look at this food. It's so yummy.
Yeah. You share with the food, the spoon in the mouth and everything like that. And so, or, even sometimes, this has actually been said to be advisable is, lick the nipple of the baby bottle and give it to the baby because you're transferring, hopefully, healthy flora to the baby, if you have healthy flora. Hopefully.
Yeah, and the thing is that we need to transfer that bacteria. Mm-hmm. We don't want our kids growing up in a sterile environment because if they're growing up in a sterile environment, they're not going to have good bacteria, they're not going to have bad bacteria, they're not going to have anything.
Right.
And what we really want to do as parents is get good bacteria because we need to transfer that bacteria to our children.
Well, that's why you had so many siblings and you played in the dirt and now you enjoy good health because of the hygiene hypothesis. You were exposed to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And, that I think is an ingredient that's missing because we have the nuclear family and we have small, very few siblings and we sanitize everything and use antibiotics in kids. I just did a presentation this morning at this conference that we're attending, and it was about ulcerative colitis. And one of the things I talked about is the influence of antibiotics on ulcerative colitis incidence.
And if kids take antibiotics before the age of one, they have three times the rate of ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, just by that fact alone. So, you know, that's something we want to avoid. So anyway, so coming back to the tooth theme, so the parents need to chew the gum, use the nasal spray, colonize with the healthy bacteria. How do you administer this to a kid? Now, I know we have kids in our family. You send us samples generously. Thank you very much. We like to use the kid's nasal drops. And the kid doesn't even have to, you know, inhale it, snarf it up.
No.
You just put it there, tilt the kid's head back. The kids like it because it actually gives them a little sweet taste in the back of their mouth. It's an, you know, they seek it out.
Yeah. Now, after this, I'll actually show you a video of a friend of mine who, his kid, who's about 5 years old, came into, it's a pretty funny video, but he sent it to me yesterday, and he goes, look at this. This is my kid.
Yeah.
This is my four-year-old kid. He comes into my room crying because his brothers are using his clear. They've used up all of his clear, and now he can't breathe right.
Kids like that. We have a three-year-old in our family, and he's an avid user. And there's a little ritual where he then does it for his parents. He does it, but he's very generous. He shares, and so he wants to give a few drops to his parents, so they pass the bottle around. You probably don't want to do that if you have an active sinus infection. You want to have your own individual bottle. So there's also another option is the kids can use these little sweet pastilles. Now, how many times a day? Because I was a little confused. I thought you had to use the nasal spray four times a day. But then I hear it's two times a day?
Well, there's two things. One is when my dad first started using it, mm-hmm. what he did was he had everybody use it every time they changed the baby's diaper.
Okay.
Because the mucociliary clearance from the time, you know, the front of your nose and it gets washed out the back is roughly 4 hours.
It was just a timing thing. It didn't have anything to do with the poo.
No, it had nothing to do with the timing thing. And so it's roughly 4 hours. And so what we usually tell people is that for the first couple of weeks, use a nasal spray three or four times a day.
Yeah.
After that, put it with your toothbrush. Once in the morning, once at night. Because really, if you're washing out the bacteria every 4 hours, mm-hmm. you're going to be getting a lot of that bacteria. And if you start getting, you know, if you start feeling like you're getting something, use it a little more often. When it comes to the oral care, what they've shown is that, you know, if you use it three or four times throughout the day, you're going to get rid of cavities, okay? And when somebody says this, use
it three. It could be gum, it could be mouthwash, it could be toothpaste, it could be pastilles.
Correct. As long as the product you're using is 100% xylitol.
Oh.
Because you have...
So some products, I think there are other products out there on the market, so you're not the only one.
And no, there are other products. I mean, even if you go into, I mean, you know, I don't want to promote or, you know, the other people,
right.
but you have Mentos, which is about 50% xylitol. And that's, if you're just going to walk into a pharmacy and buy one, buy Mentos or Icebreakers.
Right.
Both of those, I mean, they have a lot of artificial sweeteners in them.
That's no good. That's bad.
No, I agree.
Yeah, they actually, in part of my lecture was that it now turns out that artificial sweeteners increase the risk of ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. They disrupt the microbiome. So you don't use artificial sweeteners.
Don't use them then. Then just use ours.
Okay. Because xylitol is sweet anyway. Why it tastes good.
Well, the reason why they use it in Orbitz and some of these other ones is because the sorbitol that they use is not as sweet as sugar. Xylitol is as sweet as sugar. But sorbitol, mannitol, maltitol are none. So they had to add these high-intensity sweeteners to compensate for
But also, xylitol is a little bit of a pricey ingredient, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. The xylitol is about $4,000 a ton, and sorbitol is about $800.
So it's a shortcut to use the sorbitol.
It's a total pricing shortcut.
Yeah. It's like hamburger helper for the xylitol. Extender.
It's like
a meat extender.
Yeah, it's like using pork instead of beef. No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to hit you with a little terminology, which you're probably familiar with. If I get the pronunciation correctly here, Porphyromonas gingivalis. There's a study on xylitol and, it's a tongue twister, Porphyromonas gingivalis.
That's a bacteria that causes gingivitis.
Okay.
And, you know, people always asked us, what does xylitol do for gingivitis? And up until this study came out, we were like, well, you know what? We don't know. There haven't been any research studies, but that study actually showed that it has a huge effect on gingivitis and the bacteria that caused gingivitis.
So it suppresses that bacteria.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Major cause of tooth loss. This is actually a factoid. I thought it was cavities.
Not only that, but...
But it's actually periodontal disease, why people lose teeth.
Well, correct. But even when you look at it, I'm trying to remember, maybe it's this bacteria, maybe it's a different one, that they've actually tied to the heart disease, to a lot of the heart issues, because there's...
That's right. Yes.
I'm trying to remember if it was...
Yeah. No. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. But here's the new wrinkle, and I just remember this, is there's now evidence... There's a relationship between gingival bacteria, colonization with harmful bacteria, and Alzheimer's disease. Yep. Hey, it makes sense. It's close to the brain, and you know the circulatory system, you know, is shared. And literally, you get toxins or maybe bacterial invasion, and it creates inflammation. I mean, it inflames the gums. Maybe
anytime you have inflammation in your mouth, and sugar is a known inflammatory.
Yeah.
Anytime you have sugar in your mouth, I mean. You know, someone described it to me. I'm like, why is inflammation so bad? And I can't remember who it was, but somebody described it to me like, if you take a whole bunch of beach balls, have you heard this analogy before? If you take a whole bunch of beach balls and fill them half full, and then you make a wall, you can make a wall that's pretty tight.
Okay.
But if you blow them all up,
right.
You inflate them,
right.
You blow them all up to where they're fully blown up balls,
yeah.
Then you have all these huge gaps in that wall, and all those bacteria are going through that. And so your defenses are actually really, you have breached. No more defenses. Yeah, yeah. They're breached. Uh-huh. So the bacteria that are in your mouth are now just going right into your bloodstream, and if they get into your bloodstream at that point, they're going to your brain, they're going to your heart, they're going everywhere else.
It might plausibly cause joint disease or other inflammatory issues, skin problems potentially in your body. So the dental health is really key, not just for cosmetic purposes and for, you know, keeping your original set of choppers. Okay, so erythritol, how does that figure into this? That's another alcohol sugar.
Erythritol is a 4-carbon sugar, and we started adding it to some of our products, especially our children's products, a couple of years, well, by a couple, I mean 7, mm-hmm. But that goes back, have you met Mark Cannon?
Yeah, sure. We interviewed him.
Okay.
Yeah.
So some of the research that he's been a part of was actually showing, I'm trying to think of how to say it without, you know, going over the top of I don't want to say craziness, but some of the research that he's done and been a part of is showing how these bacteria in your gut create this propionic acid, and that propionic acid actually gets in your brain and causes autism.
Ooh, okay.
And they've done a number of studies, and he's been a part of them.
That is one of the leading theories. I mean, not the end all and be all, but that's one of the theories.
Correct. Yeah. And again, he'll be the first one to tell you, it's not 100%.
Contributory factor.
It's a contributory factor. But they've actually, you know, and I've gone out there and watched him do this, where they've actually taken rats, and gassed them with this propionic acid, and they exhibit all kinds of
autistic behaviors.
And then they take it away, and they're fine again. But one of the things that he pointed out, and this is years ago in these studies,
there's a type of bacteria called propionibacteria.
But erythritol,
actually
kills them off.
So maybe that is. I mean, we're not going to make claims around that.
No, but that's, not
it,
at all.
It's the idea is to feed these kids some erythritol, which will suppress their microbiome over proliferation of propionibacteria.
That's correct.
And then adjust their microbiome.
That is correct. So we added those to most of our kids' products
years
ago.
And it tastes sweet. It's great. I mean, you know, it's very acceptable.
It's actually a great... Mm. I mean, that with xylitol, we have a product that really, you know, we've kind of put it out there. The price of xylitol was going through the roof right when we mm-hmm. introduced it. So we really haven't done that much to support it. But we have a product called Light and Sweet that is a blend of xylitol and erythritol.
It's good.
But the point behind it is xylitol, if you eat a lot of it, you can get an osmotic diarrhea.
A little bit of a laxative effect, which is desirable in some cases. But what's the threshold? I mean, like, how many xylitol gums would you have to chew to achieve that effect?
On average, 4 or 5 packs.
Packs?
Packs. Okay. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess if you're a little more sensitive, you might have
But that's the average. I mean,
okay.
And once you've used it for a little while, I mean,
you acclimate to it.
Yeah.
I don't notice that I have that effect when I take the gum.
And neither do I.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people say, well, I tried it once. And I said, well, then start out slowly and move into it. Because Dr. Cannon, again, in a completely different lecture that he talked about, mm-hmm. talked about, you know, people asked, well, is xylitol good to our microbiome and our gut? And mm-hmm. one of the things that he pointed out is that if you go back to, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago and longer, humans, as you know, as a race, we ate a diet that was much higher in woody fiber.
Okay.
And well, we had to have bacteria in our gut that would metabolize that.
Interesting factoid. You know, you heard of the Adirondacks? That's the
little hills in New York.
The little hills in New York. I know you're from Utah, so you've got the Rockies. But look, with this is our claim to fame, and it's beautiful. It's a really beautiful country. Adirondack in the original indigenous language means bark eaters. It was a tribe of Indians, and so literally, especially during the hunger season, that's what they would subsist on. They would strip the bark from trees, and I guess they would maybe, you know, pound it or prepare it in some way. And it is a calorie source, not a very robust calorie source, but it's a great source of fiber, and it's got that's the way that the Finns get their xylitol. So that's of interest. You know, maybe a historical.
I learn something new every day.
There you go. I mean, it's like you need to come to New York more.
To come out and see the hills?
Yeah, got to see the little speed bumps that we have called the Adirondacks. They're not.
But one of the things that Mark Cannon, he did a lecture on, but he really discusses how, you know, even people that have gut issues, if they would eat xylitol on a regular basis, mm-hmm. you're going to change that microbiome.
You change the microbiome in a favorable way.
Back to more of, let's say, a paleo type of microbiome.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about biofilms. Because you know, they're an important issue in a variety of conditions. Sinus problems, dental problems, maybe even gut issues. So what is the connection between xylitol and microbiome and biofilms?
Well, biofilms, and you know, you've written papers on this. Biofilms, I mean, the way that I describe a biofilm is it is a city of bacteria. When you have enough people, you know, in an area, they build a city mm-hmm. to live in. When you have enough bacteria, when you have a quorum of bacteria, they'll build a biofilm. And it's a defensive strategy, yep. I guess, because what they do is they build this biofilm and they live inside of it. And it's very difficult for antibiotics right. or anything that's harmful to the bacteria to come into that biofilm. And so if you have a biofilm buildup and you have chronic ear infections, chronic mm-hmm. sinus problems, chronic any yeah. infection, chances are that you have a biofilm.
And the antibiotics don't work, or you need to use such enormous astronomical doses to penetrate the biofilm, and then with the devastating side effects of all that excess antibiotic.
And xylitol, because the bacteria in the biofilm, they look at xylitol as a food source. They're going to allow the bacteria, mm-hmm. the xylitol in there, mm-hmm. and the bacteria are going to start eating it. They, you know, and again, they can't eat it. They kick it back out. They eat it. And as more and more of the bacteria in this biofilm eat this bacteria or eat the xylitol, you know, and they starve themselves, they start dying off and the whole biofilm will fall apart.
So it's a little bit like, if you were to put Valium in the drinking water of a city you're about to invade so that the defenders would get kind of like lazy and out of it, and then, you know, then you can overcome those defenders a little more easily. I mean,
why didn't we think about that in some of these wars we've been fighting? Well, Valium, we should have been doing that.
Yeah, I mean, that could have made things a lot easier. We didn't have to bomb. But
that's exactly what it means.
Yeah. Well, maybe those legalizing pot will achieve the same results, you know, in terms of undermining the morale of the populace. But we won't go there. What actually I think has been shown, and I've written some articles on this, is that even with superficial wounds, you can take xylitol, maybe in combination with other agents, and you can heal very resistant wounds that ordinarily wouldn't respond because there's this gunk on top of the wound that is the filmy layer of biofilm prevents the, you know, bloodstream from delivering antibiotics or white blood cells to the area.
Well, did you ever look up the name Randall Walcott?
Seemed vaguely familiar.
He was a doctor. He was a wound care specialist in Lubbock, Texas. Okay. This is back in the 90s, but he had patients that had had open wounds since Vietnam.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Chronic wounds, they just wouldn't heal. they treat it, and they'd come in, they'd debride them.
Like decubitus ulcers and things like that.
All that. Yeah. I mean, all kinds of stuff like that. And he listened to my dad describe what xylitol did. He actually took xylitol, mixed it with lactoferrin.
Oh, well, lactoferrin is also a potent antibacterial,
Started using it on these wounds, and within months they were healed up.
Yeah, I've seen some of those studies. They're very exciting, yeah.
So
I mean, proof of principle, I mean, you know, we're not talking about, you know, curing dime-sized holes in your gums, you know, necessarily, but...
If you have a dime-sized hole in your gum, you have some big issues.
Yes, right. You know. But, and again, we're talking about this more from a preventive standpoint. It seems to me that you have a couple of versions of Clear. You were talking last time I spoke to you about an amped up version of Clear. Is that right?
Yeah. No, we start out with Clear.
That's the nasal spray. Yeah.
That's the nasal spray. Standard. That's the standard one, and it's a hygiene tool.
Okay.
Okay. You look at it, it should be with your toothbrush, it should be with your bar of soap. When you wash your hands, when you brush your teeth in the morning, wash your nose.
We need to instill that habit. Yeah.
Yeah. But we have other products since then. We have Clear Max, which
Max.
If you have seasonal allergies, that's what you use.
What's the secret sauce in that?
It's not really a secret sauce. I mean, it has capsicum in it, which is a natural antihistamine. They use it. You know, you have other brands out there that have that in it without the xylitol.
Does it make your hair stand on end or make your eyes water?
Not really.
No.
You know, my kids, again, let me... You've met Mike. Have you met my kids? Maybe
sure,
you have.
Yeah. But they were much smaller last time.
So oh, okay.
They were like infants.
Yeah. So we don't sell a product yet that I haven't tried on my kids.
Okay. I don't know if it's good to be your kid.
Well, my kids are incredibly healthy.
Wait a minute. Do they sign a waiver or something like that?
But you know, so even the one with capsaicin,
Clear
it's not going to burn.
Is engaged in unethical testing.
But no. But even the Clear Max with the capsaicin, it doesn't burn that much. My kids, they use it.
It's child tested.
It's child tested, child approved.
But and what's the idea behind the capsaicin? What's the rationale?
It's a natural antihistamine.
So, is it mucolytic or does it provoke mucus? I mean, it makes you secrete more mucus, doesn't it?
It shouldn't.
Okay.
What we're trying to do is you're using the xylitol in there. Mm-hmm. That's going to thin out your snot. It's going to speed up your mucociliary clearance. Okay. You know, that's one of the side effects in some of the studies they've done. What they've shown is that it improves nitric oxide production.
Okay.
And that nitric oxide actually speeds up the ciliary movement.
Now, there's something interesting in ENT, ear, nose, and throat science. It's called the snot score. For real?
No, I know.
What does it stand for? Is it
sinonasal outcome test?
Very cool.
They have a 20, a 22, and a 25.
Oh, there's a snot 20, snot 22, and snot 25.
20, yeah.
This is a scoring system.
It's a scoring system.
Okay.
And it's just 20, 22, or 25 questions.
So does xylitol produce a good snot outcome?
Well, one of the things that they did, and this was Dr. Nasuli down at Georgetown, and you know. They comparing it to a saline, it improved their snot score by 25%. That's huge.
Along with a high IQ, it's good to have a good snot score.
I know. You know, you can reduce it by, but really what it is, it's 20 questions rated on 1 to 5.
Right.
And you just go through I mean, you can go online and Google it if you really want to see what it is.
Right, to get your snot score. Go online and
Yeah, and you can find it, print it out, and fill it out.
Uh-huh.
And a great thing to do, if you want to question whether or not our products work, fill it out, start using them, and 3 weeks later, go back and refill that out and see if it changes.
Okay.
So
that's
the
challenge. That's the snot challenge.
Yeah, in the Suli studies, it showed a 25% improvement in their snot score.
Okay.
Which is a huge improvement.
Yeah.
So.
Good. Well, so basically, everyone should be taking the Spry Dental products.
Only if they want to keep their teeth.
Right. And everyone should use as preventive hygiene the Clear Nasal Spray. But in particular, sufferers of chronic nasal congestion. But just think of all the crap that you inhale if you live in an urban environment. I mean, if you, I sometimes leave my window open because I like to get a little cool air and a couple of days later, run my finger across the white paint on my windowsill, and it's all sooty.
You need to paint your windowsills gray.
or black in this case. It's New York. And so, but think of all that stuff that you're exposed to. You're really putting your nasal passages through paces. And we want to undertake some prevention. So any other themes that we want to touch upon? Any new products in the pipeline or anything like that?
The new product that I'm actually really excited about is we have, there's two of them actually. You know, we have the Rescue, which is a new product. It has, you know, it's a nasal spray to use if you're already sick. It has oregano oil in it, tea tree oil in it, eucalyptus oil in it.
It's called Rescue?
Yeah.
Clear, it has, Clear Rescue?
Yeah.
Okay.
It has Palo de Arco, which is an antifungal. It has a higher level of grapefruit seed extract.
I'm very interested in that. Yeah, could you send me some samples, please?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I want to field test them on some of our sinus patients.
But if you're already sick, mm-hmm. start using that every hour on the hour, or on the 15 minute, whatever it is. You know, it was really designed just to clean everything out fast and get you healthy again. And where that comes from, I've been sick once in the past 20 years, mm-hmm. and I was sitting in my office and somebody came in and I was eating some walnuts because I try to eat low-carb foods, and I'm eating some nuts from Costco, and somebody came in and cracked a funny joke, and I started laughing and coughed those up into my sinuses.
Oh, that got, wow.
And I ended up getting a sinus infection.
Oh, wow.
And I went to the doctor, and I said, you know, I got a sinus infection. He says, well, here's a prescription for amoxicillin.
Uh-oh.
And I'm driving home, and I'm thinking, I have a localized sinus infection. Why am I eating a systemic antibiotic?
To permeate every cell in your body, yeah.
And so I called my dad, and I said, Dad, why do they give me a systemic antibiotic for a localized infection of my sinuses? Why don't they just give me a nasal spray with amoxicillin? Mm-hmm. Why don't they give me a nasal spray with any antibiotic?
Yeah, or natural antimicrobials.
And what he said was, give me a minute, and I'll call you back and give you one. And so he called me back 20 minutes later, 30 minutes later, and he goes, hey, you know what? They don't make any. You know, there are no...
You can get them custom compounded.
You can.
I use compounding pharmacies. I can order like something, some special concoction. But it's not available as a general drug from a
Correct.
CVS pharmacy.
And why is that?
Why is it?
I don't know. Every doctor I talk to says, well, that's kind of a no-brainer. Why don't we do it? Don't do it with amoxicillin. I mean, what I ended up doing is I took my amoxicillin and poured it into my bottle of clear and squirted it in my nose.
Okay.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Because after about 2 days... amoxicillin is not stable when it's wet.
Oh, okay.
Okay, if you're going to do it, you know, we've done some studies and looked at it, and Cipro is, if you're going to use an antibiotic, Cipro is the way to go.
It's not a great one, but if you use it locally, it might be better.
Well, and the thing about it is that you're using about 1/500 the amount.
Okay, because it doesn't have to get into the
it
blood.
It doesn't have to go systemically.
Yeah.
You're spraying it right there.
Right.
But
anyway, it's along those lines, but it's a natural product because you obviously can't sell pharmaceuticals over the counter. So it invokes that principle, which I think is a good one.
Yeah.
So that I want to field test that. You know, next time, you know, I'll send you out
a
little behind the eight ball, and you know, I get a little, you know, after a cold, things start to get a little slide backwards towards sinusitis. I could field test it on myself, or you know,
I'll send you a case of it.
Great.
And the other one is we have some cough drops.
Okay.
You know, when people get a sore throat, strep throat, whatever, what do they normally go eat? You go suck on cough drops to soothe it?
Honey.
Okay.
Or sugar, mostly sugar. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's what they are.
Yeah.
They're sugar.
Yeah.
So what are you doing to all that bacteria in your throat?
Making it go
wild. You're bathing it.
You're
bathing it in food.
They're.
So if you're going to get a cough drop, if you're going to suck on a lozenge while you have a sore throat, make sure it's sugar-free.
Okay.
And there is only one natural sugar-free cough drop on the market.
And that is?
Clear.
Clear. And it's a clear cough drop, it's called. Okay.
Yeah.
I have a couple of those. I have samples of those at home that I, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I can use that during the show to clear my throat. That's a good way.
Every other one has a high level of fructose. Mm-hmm. And even some of the ones that are using honey have high levels of fructose. And that fructose is probably the worst sugar to use when you have a sore throat because that's the one that's most reactive with the strep bacteria.
So, finally, where is it available? It's available, you're in the major pharmacies. I think you...
The clear nasal spray is available at CVS, Rite Aid.
Right. The mainline product, but if you really want to get, you know, some of the specialized products, you got to go to the website, right?
You can go to the website, clear.com, xlear.com. Mm-hmm. Most of your natural products retailers are going to carry
them. Yeah, health food stores.
But anything with the Spry brand is going to be 100%. Whole Foods, yeah. Sprouts, right. Vitamin Shoppe here in New York, anywhere else. Earth Fare, Fresh Time, any of those stores.
It's widely accepted. It's just a great thing. But I think we have to do some behavioral stuff on people and motivate people to not just use it when you're up the creek and in extremis, but use it preventively. I think that's the key. Is don't wait till you have yellowish and green stuff coming out of your nasal passages and your fever's 102, and use it as a to fend off these.
Put it with your toothbrush.
Yeah.
You don't wait until you have a cavity to brush your teeth. You don't wait until you're sick to wash your hands.
Yeah.
Don't wait until you're sick to wash your nose.
Okay, good advice, Nate. It's always a pleasure. You're always coming up with these great innovations, and you continue to do so. The company is Clear Inc. XLEAR, and we're talking to Nate Jones. Thank you, Nathan, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you happen to be on a weight loss regimen, studies show that as fat cells shrink, they release stored toxins into the system that can actually poison metabolic pathways and slow your metabolism, causing your weight to plateau even in the face of stringent diet adherence. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol, a collection of carefully curated supplements to mobilize toxin elimination, easing the blahs that sometimes compromise your dietary resolve. The Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol is an easy way to get the exact combination of the targeted nutrients you need. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information and to purchase. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immunity protocols and much more. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.